Hi there. Welcome to the Health Analytic Insights podcast. This podcast is all about creating a community of like-minded individuals who are passionate about the field of health informatics. I hope to share information and advice in topics such as health analytics, digital health, biomedical engineering, and data visualization in healthcare. And in exchange, I would love to hear from you, dear listener, about your experience and interest in this field. You can drop me a line at healthanalyticinsights@gmail.com. And this email, along with any references discussed during this podcast, will be listed in the show notes below. If this resonates with you, don't forget to follow and subscribe to this podcast, as I'll be releasing new episodes bi-weekly. Dr. Bertrand Lemeshko is a medical futurist and the director of the Medical Futurist Institute, analyzing how science fiction technologies can become reality in medicine and healthcare globally. As a geek physician with a PhD in genomics, he's also an Amazon Top 100 author and a private professor at Semmelweis Medical School, Budapest, Hungary. With 500-plus presentations, including courses at Harvard, Stanford, and Yale Universities, Singularity University's FutureMed courses at NASA, Ames Campus, and organizations including the 10 biggest pharmaceutical companies, he's one of the top voices globally on healthcare technology. Dr. Meshko was featured by dozens of top publications, including CNN, the World Health Organization, National Geographic, Forbes, Time Magazine, BBC, and the New York Times. So he publishes his analysis regularly on medicalfuturist.com. He's also a certified super forecaster for Good Judgment, Inc. So thank you so much, Dr. Meshko, for being on the podcast. That's a very impressive bio. And in this episode of the podcast, we're really going to deep dive into digital health. But before we get into that, I was wondering if you can just tell the audience a bit about the main goals and vision of the Medical Futurist team and why you decided to start this organization.
Of course, I would love to. And thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I really appreciate the opportunity. Well, I have two arms. In one arm, I lead the Medical Futurist team. It's a small, quite dedicated individuals. And our job or our goal is to provide context around the use of advanced technology in medicine. What I do is that I personally analyze a lot of news, announcements, studies every single day. I choose those that be the most relevant ones for our audience, about 1 million followers across the region. Based on those bits of information we get from these announcements, news, and studies, we keep on creating a bunch of content. We create articles, we have daily social media news analysis, publish videos, ebooks, executive summaries, infographics, a lot of things, again, across a range of channels. And in my second arm, or my second hat, I lead the Medical Futurist Institute, which is a small research institute, where we basically try to do the same job, but through peer-reviewed research. When we have a claim, when we make a claim about the digital health evolution or any advanced technologies on the medical futurist channels, then we try to back those claims through studies and opinion pieces, quite high-level medical journals.
Is also like all the ebooks and the videos that you create, is it really also to help educate people about digital health in this field so we can see more advances?
That's the plan. Actually, we have three plans in mind. One is to generally educate people about why digital health is a cultural transformation, a technological one.
Oh, okay.
The second goal is to just raise awareness about the importance of using advanced technologies, such as artificial intelligence, the delivery of healthcare and the practice of medicine. And the third is to not overhype the importance of these technologies. While I personally test a lot of digital health sensors, I just finished literally yesterday a video about testing a wireless electrical sensor for 2 weeks. I do these experiments and testing these devices to show people how these work, whether they are exciting or dangerous, what kind of privacy risks the use of the devices can come with. But these are the three main goals. But the most important one is to somehow facilitate the transition of the cultural transformation that we call digital health, because a paradigm shift has been going on in healthcare in the past decade or maybe 1.5 decades. The paradigm shift is about patients becoming the newest members of their medical team. And this is quite an unprecedented shift in power, quite unprecedented change in the way healthcare is delivered. Therefore, all the stakeholders, from policymakers to even inventors, medical professionals, all of us have to prepare for this transition. And I think as a futurist, my job should be to raise awareness about issues or challenges or topics that are not even present today, but could be on the horizon quite soon. So we might have enough time to prepare for these.
Yeah, very, very interesting insights. And along that, what might be on the horizon? What are some emerging medical technologies that you are most excited to see develop in 2023 and beyond?
I never think that technological trends are exciting. I always think that the high-level trends are exciting that are based on the influx of technologies. Mm-hmm. For me, the patient empowerment movement, the simple fact that patients can finally get engaged with their health and disease management is much more important than a certain microchip-based product or an application or remote care service, you know, coming out next year. But if I had to name technological trends, I would definitely highlight artificial intelligence, not as a huge group, but in a sense that the influx of ChatGPT, Midjourney, DALL-E, all these publicly available AI tools, I think, finally led to a breakthrough. Because for many, many years, I've been talking about in my keynotes about the importance of artificial intelligence. We've been publishing studies about AI, but somehow these tools helped us break down the walls. So now, really, not just a dedicated group of individuals understand why they have to deal with this technology in time, but tens of millions of people started using these tools. ChatGPT just surpassed the threshold of having 10 million users in less than a month. And this is, I think, extraordinary, even compared to the success of Twitter, Facebook, or other major social media tools. But this breakthrough technology now gives us a chance to bring all the relevant stakeholders to a table, because now they understand why we need to talk about AI today and not in the science fiction like.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And in my opinion, I see sometimes like healthcare can lag behind other industries when it comes to technological innovation for a variety of reasons. You know, the importance of securing patient safety when it comes to implementing these medical devices is a huge one. In my opinion, I can see artificial intelligence having a big impact on reducing administrative burden when it comes to the use of medical chatbots. And I think we saw that during the pandemic when, you know, you go online and you want to make sure that you're following proper masking procedures when you enter like a hospital. So in your opinion, where do you see artificial intelligence having the first primary biggest impact in healthcare in the next 5 years?
I would name definitely drug design for pharma companies, medical decision support for physicians, and making sense of the amazing amount of data patients can measure about themselves for patients. But you know, as the medical futurist, my job is usually to help people zoom out and look at the high-level perspective. And in that sense, I would say the biggest impact we have on our lives, by us, I mean people working for healthcare, is that every repetitive and or database task or component or process could finally be automated. Mm-hmm. The reason why healthcare is always lagging behind other industries is that there is quite a range of strict regulations. Understandably, because patients' lives are at stake, and we need to make sure that we only use safe and efficient products in the market, no matter how advanced technologies those are implemented. Plus, there is a cost issue, but the even more important one is that we working in healthcare, we are not able anymore to deal with the unprecedented amount of tasks we have every single day. It's just physically impossible. Therefore, this is the best way to allow AI to improve or facilitate or just simply make our jobs better by allowing it to replace every repetitive and or database task. Those tasks don't require human expertise or supervision or knowledge or creativity or intuition yet. Mm-hmm. We humans are bound to keep on doing them. And that's, I think, this should be the general rule that people keep in mind. Can AI help me? Well, do you have repetitive and or database tasks? Because then there is a chance that those tasks could be and maybe should be old. This is what I try to send a message whenever I talk to people in health about the importance of AI.
Yeah, and that's a really great point, because the technology, you know, even exists today. You have things like Power Automate that can automatically send messages to your email or send messages to your to-do list and really help to reduce those repetitive tasks. So we don't forget about these important tasks, but it can allow for more creativity because you're not just focused on these. And these are.
But it shouldn't start with that, you know. People just can't expect that, well, I do have those repetitive and database tasks, so let's replace those with AI right now. Let's just spread this way. Even digital health has been a cultural transformation. It's, I mean that the hierarchy between physicians and patients has been transitioning into an equal level partnership because of the influx of data, the access to information and technology. That's a long process because we people don't like to change and we adopt new things, actually, but it takes a lot of time. And with AI, cannot expect anything less. And that's why I advise people to start playing around with AI. I mean, I have a 6-year-old daughter and we regularly play Quick Draw, a 3 game by Google, which the AI tells you what to draw, and then you have to try to draw that image, like a helicopter or an animal.
Really?
The AI will try to find out what you are drawing. And I'm the worst one in the world at drawing, literally. And still, AI finds out what I'm trying to draw, which is extraordinary. And this way, by playing this really silly game with the artificial intelligence entity or algorithm, I think you are gradually learning what kind of relationship you might have with that tech. Because that's such an advanced technology that you will build a relationship with it. Mm-hmm. It will include trust. It will include your own ways of dealing with sensitive issues while using that technology. That's why I advise people to go on ChatGPT and keep asking questions, even silly ones. It doesn't matter. I asked it to make a non-alcoholic cocktail for my niece, and it came up with brilliant ideas. It just helps you get a sense of how this technology works. Even more important, that's why it's a cultural transformation. What kind of relationship you are building with that technology? So the more advanced and actually the more tools in number come at your face, I think the more emotionally, culturally, technologically prepared you will be to deal with.
Yes, absolutely. And kind of on your point about teaching people and learning just about artificial intelligence and the field as a whole, we have many listeners of the podcast who are interested in working in digital health, and they might have like a previous clinical or technical background and are trying to pivot into this field. Do you have any advice on what skills you think would be beneficial to be successful in the digital health field?
Absolutely. Not only we published a study about this, about the skills needed for the digital health era, but we literally launched a course like 2 hours after we recorded this podcast about the introduction to artificial intelligence in medicine and health. I think the key skills for any professional, not just medical professional who want to work in this field, would definitely include digital literacy, the ability to feel at home when browsing on the internet, when using advanced technologies from virtual reality to remote care platforms. I'm not saying basically being a geek, but something close to that, that it's okay for you to learn new things when it comes to the use of technologies because you have done this so many times before. The skills, I'm not sure if it's a skill, but there should be maybe just an ability to transform a real life patient or clinical need into the language of people who work on technologies. So you come across something that patients struggle with, mm-hmm. and you are able to understand how an algorithm, how a smartphone app, how a digital health sensor could be able to facilitate that process, to ease the pain for patients, and you are able to translate clinical problem into a technological language. I think it's very important. I think there are also basic skills which have been important, but not maybe as important as those would be in the AI era. And these would include creativity, intuition, teamwork, and I think a good level of understanding of these advanced technologies. So definitely not coding is a skill that I professionals would need in the near future. Those who would work on AI-based solutions, they will need to learn coding, but everyone else is just not the case. But to be able to understand what this technology is all about, that's crucial. And just one example that comes to mind is about how the magnetic resonance imaging machines work, the MRI machines. Every single medical professional must study about that and learn the basics of that technology in medical school. But without hurting my peers, I think 99% of physicians, while practicing medicine, have no idea, you know, the technologically speaking, how that machine works. However, they have a scientific understanding strong enough that they send their patients to that machine without thinking about whether the machine would hurt them or not, because they know that it's not going to happen, because they understand the technology scientifically enough to trust it. And that's the same thing we have to achieve with technologies like digital health sensors or AI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very interesting. But definitely, I think the listeners should check out your website, medicalfuturist.com, to learn more about the course. And also, you have many YouTube videos that can be helpful for people to get an understanding of digital health. So I will be linking to those in the show notes of the episode. And as we wrap up the interview, Dr. Meshko, I have a fun question, which is, you know, I'm a fantasy reader. I really enjoy reading fantasy books. I dabble, you know, in science fiction movies. But what are some technologies, in your opinion, you found in science fiction books or movies that you hope to one day see implemented within healthcare? Or maybe what are some advances in science fiction books that you already see implemented within healthcare today?
You have a fun question. I'm a serious science fiction. I read everything. Classical, contemporary, I don't care. And even though I read about at least one science fiction book a week, you don't come across healthcare examples many times in those books, even movies. And the two examples that would come to my mind, well, those are not really, you know, scientifically backed, but based on your question, I would love to see them being implemented into practice. I understand one would definitely be the radiology pod used in Elysium, that I think quite okay movie with Matt Damon a few years back. The patient just lied into the device, it swooshed, and just there was a screen showing what percentage of the patient's cells have cancer, which doesn't make scientific any sense, but I understand the implication that the writers wanted to have here. Mm-hmm. And then one more scan, and the patient is cancer. That sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. The other one would be from The Fifth Element, and it would be about 3D bioprint. It always fascinates me when I read in studies how there have been proofs showing that can 3D bioprint tissues like liver tissue, bone, cartilage, skin, soon hopefully kidney tissues. But that movie, a whole human being was reconstructed based on a part of their, I think it was an arm or a hand. Mm-hmm. And she was, Lila was 3D bioprint in a pod. It seems like before this recurring element of the healthcare example in science. But I would stop at these two examples.
Yeah, very, very cool. I hope, especially the 3D printing. That'd be cool to see, you know, organs and stuff like that 3D printed. So I hope we see that in the future. But thank you so much for your insights, Dr. Meshko. I certainly learned a lot about digital health, and I'm sure my audience has learned a lot as well. So definitely appreciate your time.
The pleasure was all mine. Thank you for having me on that.
Thank you for listening to the Health Analytic Insights podcast. I'd love to hear from you about topics I should cover in future episodes. Please consider subscribing and leaving a review. Have a wonderful day.